All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the word again. Thank you for the anointing on me and these lips of clay, that I do speak this word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness, asking you to think through my mind and speak through my lips, that the word of God shall come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force, and that signs, wonders, and miracles shall accompany and follow the word preached. Now we thank you for it. And Lord, we give you praise for it all. In Jesus' name, can you agree by saying amen?
Amen.
All right, let's again start reading here, down here in Isaiah chapter 51 in verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock which you have hewed, and to the hole in the pit which you have digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him. Say, and blessed him. And increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Come on down to verse 16. I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth and say to Zion, thou art my people. Very, very powerful scripture. Before I start, let me just say a few words because I came out with a new book. And say a few words about it. But one of the things I'm talking about in there is a concept called kings and priests, came out of Revelation chapter 1. And I'm seeing where how the two offices, the two anointings operated in the days of old. And it was in the New Testament. It's a New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's a New Testament concept. But it's where you had both the pulpit and the pew working together. And it's going to have to be that way coming in these last days. The enemy has worked to try to divide the house, to separate the pew from the pulpit and make it so that they won't believe the word of God or won't believe the man of God, and try to discredit the preacher and have it so that the marketplace folks won't attend services, but they go to the ball game and whatever have you. But this book gives you a revelation of why it's so important. And if you go into scriptures and just look at the scriptures, you'll see that, for example, when Hezekiah was up against the Assyrians and he didn't see any way out, the thing that he did was to send a message, a note to Isaiah. And he sent a note to him and said, you know, what should I do? Well, he came back and said, hey, you'll not need to fight this, whatever have you. And he came back and took that note. This is found in 2 Kings chapter 19. Took that note and he opened it and went into the house of God, went into the temple, and he began to read it. He began to pray that prayer. And the Bible says, then he went to sleep that night. Well, he went to sleep that night, woke up the next morning, and all the enemy had been killed. The angel came down and destroyed 185,000 men. This is in one night. Now notice how those two work together, the prophet and the marketplace and the kings, and how they work together for the highest level of productivity, of results that we could see in this earth. We are not here to compete with the world. We're here to dominate.
Right.
And we've kind of settled for competing. Right. And that's not our portion. And so when you go back in those scriptures and you see again, for example, when in Deuteronomy chapter 20, The priest would speak over the kings and the armies before they went out to battle. He would bless them. Well, they believed so much in the words that the priest or the prophet spoke until it would give them the faith that they needed to lock out fear. See, once the fear comes, it connects you with death. I mean, Brother Copeland's priest says. And what happened is you can't get God's ability with fear, because faith is the only thing that connects you with God's ability. And so the enemy wants to put fear in them, so forth and so on. So I'm just saying that as they would speak, here's what one of the kings said over in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." I think that was Jehoshaphat. "And believe his prophets, and you'll prosper." One of the people in our ministry, I was preaching, and he said, "Pastor, thank God you spoke what you spoke last Sunday." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You told me to sell my stock." I said, "What? I ain't tell you to sell any stock." Well, what I preached and what the Holy Ghost had him to hear, see, because he believed in his man of God. And so as a result of that, he went out and sold, I don't know, a couple of $300,000 or $400,000 worth of stock. And he said, "I would have lost everything." I said, "Well, what happened to the company?" He said, "The company folded, went down to zero." I said, "Could I ask you what that company was?" He said, "The name of it is Enron." Now, some of you remember Enron, don't you? Now, what does the prophet do? The Bible says in Amos that God will do nothing in the earth except he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets, not the marketplace. And what happens to the heathen, they run to astrologers and so forth and so on. Why? Because everybody's trying to know the future. I remember Brother Copeland said one time, he said, "All you got to do to get rich is find out where everybody's going and get there first." Now, that might be an oversimplification, but there's something to that. And I'm just saying to you that that's what one of the reasons for the pulpit is, that the pulpit would not only teach you the word, so faith will come, so you can be able to fight those battles. But that prophetic word will be able to show you and speak things to come, because God shows them the timing and the direction of the move of God. And let me tell you, when you can find out where everything's going and get there first, you'll be in good shape. So that's the kind of revelation that's in it that I wanted to put together, only because I think it's time now. We're in this season, like Brother Copeland just said, that, hey, this church is going to have to rise, because there are things going on here. Let me just show you this. We read our opening scripture. Look at 2 Thessalonians, and I think it's verse 2. Let's just look at that. 2 Thessalonians, verse 2. And he says here, 2 Thessalonians, I'll get there. Yeah, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says this, verse 6, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then that wickedness or wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Now, what is he saying here? He that let will let. So he's saying that there'll be the church holding back evil. This is our job now. Our job is, and I'm going to show you some more as we go along here, but our job is to hold back the evil that's taking place here. Now, that's a whole lot different from hiding in the church. We're talking about out in the marketplace holding back evil. And if you don't hold it back, that Satan closes in. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm saying when the church is whoop taken up out of here, woo, all double H-E double hockey sticks will take place.
All right.
Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying so we got to hold it back. Now to do that, I got to be fortified. I got to know who I am, whose I am. I'm a sheep among wolves, but the wolves can't touch me. Are you got what I'm saying? All this we got to know. And these conferences are designed to build your faith so that you can fight the battle that's in your industry or wherever you come from. Whether you're in school, whether you're in Hollywood, doesn't make any difference. You're going to have the greater one in you. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise God. So, all right, let's just look at this. Let's see what I've got here for you. Because that's kind of the book, and it's got a lot of other stuff in it. But that's the kind of thing. It's to build your faith. Now, this is going to be interesting today, so just hold on. Praise God. I'm gonna tell it the best I can. All right, we're talking about the blessing. All right, we use the scripture of Isaiah chapter 51 as our foundation. And we wanted to go back to, let's go back to Genesis and see where this thing started. Genesis chapter 1. And in Genesis chapter 1, he said in verse 27, and God created man in his own image after his, in the image of God. Is that scripture? Okay. I like that. What Keith had the scriptures behind him. Boy, I liked it. That was kind of slick. Okay. It says here, and image of God and likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So as Charles Capps used to say, you have dominion over creeps. And then we went on down to verse 28. And God blessed them. Say, bless them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Just reminded myself, I didn't introduce my wife. Veronica, why don't you stand up? 33 years, praise God. This is the woman here, amen. That's a praying woman right there. Okay. Now, this blessing. I looked it up in Webster 1828 dictionary. And, woo, okay. And it talked about... to me, what would have happened if I said I looked it up in American Standard Dictionary? Woo. Okay. All right. Okay. So it means, he said to me, it means to make successful, to endue with power for success, for success. So what is he saying? He's saying, okay, Adam, I'm putting an empowerment on you. It's called the blessing. The name, the scriptural name is the blessing. Now that's the same power that was used to create all matter. So I'm going to take this power and I'm going to put it on you so that you can continue creation wherever you go. Now, the idea about it is that God created Adam, and then he put him in the garden. So it's obviously that he wasn't in the garden yet. He put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And then this mandate is here to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, and subdue it. Now, what is he going to do it with? The only thing that he gave Adam to work with was the blessing. So now Adam has this blessing, this empowerment now on his life. Now this empowerment is going to cause things to happen for him. Now, when this empowerment, fast forwarding, is on your life, because the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing that is on our lives is the same blessing that was on Abraham, and it's the same blessing that was on Adam. It was Eden blessing at that time. And then it's the same blessing that he talks about in Proverbs 10:22 that we talked about. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, the blessings come out of the blessing. And the blessings are supernatural, supernatural increase, supernatural prosperity, supernatural promotion, supernatural protection, supernatural longevity, supernatural business strategies. All these things come out of that. When you're talking about supernatural prosperity, many times we can't even imagine what that is, only because we hadn't taken time to meditate the scriptures. When you meditate the scriptures, the Holy Ghost will show you that supernatural prosperity is explosive growth. It's not this kind of growth that takes place over 50 years. It's explosive growth. It's God's supernatural growth coming in your life. Supernatural deliverance. I remember when I was, again, starting our ministry at Chicago, and Lake at Pulaski is where we first started. And Lake at Pulaski was in the 11th precinct of Chicago, the worst crime area in Chicago. He started us right in the middle of it. And so when we started there, I remember a lady coming in, she came in the door and kind of broke in, says, "Who's the pastor in here?" I said, "I'm the pastor." She said, "I need to see you." Now, I understand the place wasn't big enough to hold but about 20 people, 25, 30 people at the most. And I said, "What do you want to see me about?" She said, "The drug dealers have taken over my block, my street." She said, "What are you going to do about it?" Now, you got to understand that one of the reasons why we're sent where we're sent is to turn it from what it is into the Garden of Eden. That's why you're sent where you're sent. Doesn't make any difference where you're sent or the condition of the place or the color of the people. Now, I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Now, so what happened, we go in there, she prayed. I said, "Lady, get in this circle, let's pray." Now, why do I want to pray? Because I got to hear from headquarters. Because the blessing takes me being obedient to the voice of God. Let's look at that, please, over in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Come on, just go along with me now, praise God. You don't have anything else to do right now. Just go along with me. Look what he said in verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and what? Overtake you." All right. Now I need the blessing of deliverance. I need deliverance in that neighborhood. Deliverance from the crime, deliverance from the drug dealers, so forth and so on. I need it. Now, what could I do? I can consult natural sources. I could go down to the police department. I can go over to and make a block club and form a block club and let's get together and so forth. All those things maybe are good. But this is what the book brings out that I wrote. That Hercules was coming now. He was kind of qualifying himself as who he's supposed to be. And now here's Hercules, as you know, he's a mythical character. I think it's one of Aesop's fables. But here's Hercules. And now he's got to fight this dragon. This dragon's called a Hydra. I think it's 9 heads. So he takes to fight this dragon, but there's a problem. As quickly as he cuts the head off of the dragon, one of the heads, 2 more grow back. Can't you see what I'm saying? I'm saying the natural solutions of man trying to solve the problems of Al-Qaeda. The next thing you know, you got ISIS. You got all kinds. You got about 4 or 5 spawn terrorist groups. And I'm saying, why? Because nobody ever got to the root. And see, people are trying to take God out of it. See, The world is, the devil is trying to secularize the world, meaning he's trying to take God out of education, God out of the government, God out of, but you're here to put God back in education. I'm putting back in Hollywood. See? All the mountains supposed to be ruled by God. And so I'm saying that no, we don't want the problems to get worse. We want these problems to get better. And so in this, he is, solution that God came up with was a spiritual solution. Now, or was rooted in the spirit. Now, let me say what I'm talking about there. What you see in the physical has a spiritual component. Glory to God. That things cannot, that whatever exists naturally has a root spiritually. In other words, what you see is either controlled or is managed by something you cannot see. So, you and I are the only ones that can get to the root. So we can get to the root of whatever problem there is. Doesn't make any difference. You and I are designed to get to it. How do we get to it? By faith. And we can cut into this thing and get to the root. Notice what happened. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, it dried up from the roots. See? Once the roots were dried, then the tree could no longer have life. And I'm saying that what you do see is controlled by something you can't see. And the world is trying to solve the problem on the level of the leaves. And that's not good enough. So you and I are coming in, and now we're going to deal with the root cause. So God gave me a root solution. Here's what he said. Bless this oil, give it to her, tell her to go pour it down the middle of the street. Does that sound logical? No, it doesn't. So get ready for foolish thoughts. If you're going to, listen now, if you're going to obey the voice of God, listen, this is why a lot of people don't go anywhere. They know too much. See, I'm telling you, that's why a kid can almost handle this. Oh, Jesus, I got so much I want to say to you today. All right, now what? Let's keep going with this. Praise God. So what did I do? I gave it to her. I said, lady, God said, take this oil and pour it down the middle of the street. She said, well, give it here. Now, that lady was desperate. And I think sometimes church folk are not quite desperate enough to allow God to work in our lives. In other words, we could take it or leave it. When he told the man, go dip 7 times in the river Jordan. He at first rode away.
That's right.
Why did he ride away? Because first of all, that's foolish.
That's right.
Next thing, I'm a man of stature.
That's right.
You mean in front of all my men? Oh, that's absurd. See, that pride thing. But this lady didn't have any pride. This lady that came to me, she said, well, give it here. I gave it to her. She went, poured it down the middle of the street. And what happened? Came back in 4 days, pastor, guess what? I said, what? They came out for 1 hour the next day. Now, they were coming out at 12 noon and leaving at 12 midnight every day, Monday through Sunday. And she said they came out for 1 hour the next day and never came back. Now, think about it. The Bible says that God has laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. Proverbs chapter 2. For the righteous, not from the righteous. For you. Why? Because he knew you were going to have a problem. But he already had a solution. And when you have a problem, the solution has already been delivered by God. So now we've got to use our faith to pull down a solution, glory to God, and solve that problem. So the world is waiting on you.
That's right. That's right.
You got the answers. You got the answer to problems in your company. You know, you were designed like God. You were made in His image. God is a creator. Am I right about that?
Right.
And do you know you were designed to create? That God will continue to stimulate your imagination with something new. And He's going to do it for as long as you're here. I think that's why retirement is not in the Bible. Well, because if you can breathe, you can create. Are y'all with me here? Now, that is just an example of supernatural deliverance, supernatural a favor. Well, you know what that is. That was when the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they're coming out of there. Well, while they're coming out, notice what Moses said to them. Well, let's go up there. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 19, please. Now, it's going to get good here because you look like you're kind of sleepy. I'm going to have to do something to wake you up. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 19. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 19, pardon me. All right. Look what it says. And I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. They're in bondage now. Watch this. And I'll stretch forth my hand, and I'll smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Next verse. And I will give this people favor. Say this like this. Favor.
Favor.
Now, this is supernatural favor. See, supernatural favor. One day of supernatural favor is worth a lifetime of labor. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. Notice. God never planned. Lord have mercy. I want to say this. Redemption is not complete without divine provision. It's not complete. God does not want you to be saved and broke. God does not want you to be saved and sick. God does not want you to be saved and depressed. Say amen to this. God does not want you to be saved and full of fear. You've been redeemed from fear just like you've been redeemed from sickness. You have no right to fear, and the devil has no legal right to put fear on you. Say amen to that. So say this, from this day,
I will not fear.
I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So I receive it by faith today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So that was Psalm chapter 34 and 4. He delivered me from all my fears. So I'm saying now I want to go in and I want to get my inheritance, but I'm going to have to follow the voice of God. God is going to speak to me about every matter. Everything that He wants me to, everything I want to receive, God said, just follow my voice. Now somebody said, well, I heard I'm not under the law. You're not under the law. You're under grace. That's why you can follow this. All you got to do is do what He says. And I showed you yesterday or day before that His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard to do. So He's going to tell you to do something. Pour the oil down the street. Get up. There was another guy. He was in our ministry. And his credit was so bad till it was so bad. And what happened? He started hearing these scriptures about ownership and what God had given him. So he and his wife went down to buy a car. So they go down there. He goes out, sits down, he sees a car in the showroom. Oh, man, he likes this car, he and his wife. So he sat down with the salesman. The salesman, okay, which one? And wrote up the paperwork. He said, okay, give me your social security number. And he looked at it. He said, sir, I don't think we can do anything for you. He says, why? He says, sir, your credit, you're not. He said, sat back in his chair and said, Lord, what shall I do? God said, get up, march around on the car, you and your wife, 7 times. Just march around. So he got up, he and his wife marched around the car. Now, some of y'all won't do this.
All right, God.
Come on now, because you got too much sense to do this.
All right.
He marched around that car for 7 times, went back and sat down, and God said, tell him to key it in there again. So he keyed it in again. He said, wait a minute, I must have something wrong. What was your social security number again? He gave it to him again. God had wiped out. Come on, this is the right crowd, I know. I'm talking about supernatural deliverance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, if God helped me, we have enough time, I'm talking about debt cancellation. Because I'm not talking about natural.
Come on, God.
I'm talking about super. And God is a debt-canceling God. I don't know what they have up there. Do they have the Message translation on that? Somebody give me a thumbs up if you have the Message. You do. Is that a thumb up? Okay. All right. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 1, please. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 1. And the Message translation. At the end of every 7 years, cancel all debt. Keep going. Put it up. Next verse, please. This is a procedure. Everyone who has lent money to his neighbor writes it off. You must not press your neighbor or his brother for payment. All debts are canceled. God said so. All debts are canceled. Oh, Lord Jesus. All debts, I came to announce, all debts are canceled. God said so. Now agree with God. Sit down. Now, I'm going to tell you what somebody says. This is what the logical mind is going to say. Well, now. Pastor, you got to understand that he said at the end of every 7 years. Now, we just can't cancel debt when we want to. We got to wait till 7 years. All right? With your smart self, go to Mark chapter 7. We got the devil where we want him now, boy. See, it's in the book. And this book is God speaking to you. Now look what it says here. Verse 25. And there was a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. He heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Watch this. In Jesus' feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Next verse. Hallelujah. Now, something happened to part of that, so... But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, somebody being called a dog up in here somewhere. And would you see this? And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Next verse. And, glory to God. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. Next verse. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter lay upon the bed. Check it out. Notice who the woman was. She was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation. Why is that so important? Because the Holy Spirit wants to let you know that it wasn't her time. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. It wasn't her time. I said it wasn't her time. She pressed in by faith, and faith moves time. So I don't care if he says 7 years or 70 years, today is your time. Now take your faith and move it. I came to announce to you, all debts are canceled. God says so. Man, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. Woo! See, they tried to work that same thing at the gravesite of Lazarus. You remember? Here comes Jesus, and Martha or Mary met him and said, you know, if you'd only been here earlier, my brother would not have died. He said, your brother shall rise again. He'll live again. She said, I know he will in the resurrection and the last day. He said, no, no, no. You don't know who I am. I am the resurrection. This is your day. I said, this is your day. I said, this is your day. You need healing. This is your day. You need deliverance. This is your day. Now sit down. Woo-hoo-hoo. Do I have any believers in this house? This is your. Lord have mercy, I'm trying to get through this. Something is happening in this house. I said something is happening in this house. Can't you feel it? Can't you sense it? Something just broke. I said something just broke. Y'all got to sit down now. I got to finish it. Y'all taking up my time. Woo-wee! And this is going to be this. I'm telling you, saints. See, if you'll just receive it, Don't try to take it and understand it like Key Brother Key said yesterday. Just receive. You don't know how God's going to do it, but you do know what He's going to do. Canceling debts at this meeting. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Woo! Your days of toiling are over. Your days of struggling, trying to pay bills are over. You are now the head. You are now the lender. And receive. Receive it. Sit down. I got to finish. Sit down. Praise God. I got to finish this. We got a ways to go here. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Thanks. All right, now let me. Man. We jumped off there too quick. We well, I couldn't hold it back. I tried to hold it back. I couldn't hold it. God in heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's. Okay. They're still walking. But what we're going to do is we're going to continue. I got to continue teaching you here. You're taking my time. All right, so. For those who can sit down, sit down. That's my job. That's my job. I'm just doing my job. I came to announce some things. All debts are canceled. God says so. Woo! All right, sit down. Let me try to keep going with this. So you can have supernatural prosperity. You can have supernatural deliverance. You have supernatural favor. Say favor. You can have supernatural business strategies. Supernatural. I'm not talking about natural. You can't think this high. This is where we're going, folks. There's about to be a clear distinction between the believer and the rest of the world. You are about to go beyond what is ordinary, starting in this meeting. When they Google your name, they will find you at the top. Woo! So we're moving past anything that the natural mind can produce. Believe me. All right, yeah, no, the windows of heaven are open. You are being showered with blessing. Right now, as I speak, you're going to get ideas, concepts, insights, money in the bank. It's not going to be by might nor by power, but it's going to be by that blessing. All right, so let's just, while they're doing that, let's just keep going with a little bit of this. All right? So let's go to Genesis chapter 12. And we got to remember, we kind of left off there last time. And in verse 1, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. Now notice, he didn't give him a map, didn't give him a brochure. He said, just go, follow me. Verse 2. And he said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now I'd like to read that verse 2 first out of the Amplified translation. Boy, they got kids walking up here and everything. Boy, everybody. Everybody blessed. He said, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. Say favor. And make your name famous and distinguished. Say, I'm famous and distinguished. And you will be a blessing, dispensing goods to others. Now, what does that mean? That means if you just try to get it, no, you're going that way. You're going that way. Keep going, homeboy, that way. That means if you just try to get it and you forget to bless others, the stream could stop.
Yes, sir.
Because your covenant responsibility is to be a blessing. He doesn't want it to stop with you. We got to get all families of the earth blessed. fast. Say amen to this. Now look what he says here in verse 3. Now, Lord have mercy. This is just a reminder that all debts are canceled. I say. All right, let's keep going here. Now I want you to see this. He said all families blessed. I want you to hear this now, because I want to dip down into something for just a second here. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, God speaks a word, and he's talking about being a respecter. This is in the King James translation, if you have that, please. I guess they're having problems with that. Let me go in my Bible. Okay. Then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Next verse. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Let me give you the Winston translation. Has the same access to his blessing. The same access to his blessing. Now, what am I saying here? That all families would be blessed. No matter what your culture, your country, or your color. All can be billionaires. Oh, I know I took you too far too quick. God's people are to be envied, not pitied. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 26. You see, there is something here that we've got to get right in our thinking about the blessing of Abraham or the blessing of the Lord. And look what he says here. He said Genesis chapter 26, starting at verse 2. Let's just start there. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land that which I will tell you of. He said, sojourn in this land and I'll be with you and I'll bless you. For unto thee and to thy seed will I give all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Next verse. And I will make thy seed to multiply the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Yes, sir.
Come on down to verse 12, please. And Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And who blessed it? See, a lot of times people don't have problems with wealth as long as they did it. A person can even win the lottery. And do you know what they do? I don't know what they do here in this state, but in Chicago, They put you on TV. They get a big mock, you know, check and have it with, you know, $50 million or something, and everybody's out there smiling. You know? And everybody's just watching that, said, boy, I wish I had hit that number. Don't have any problems with the wealth. But get up there and say, God did this. And watch the persecution start. Because hundredfold comes with persecution. That enemy does not want people to know that God will make you rich. He does not want people to know that God will heal you. God will make your marriage whole. Come on, he does not want people to know that. So what has happened is people have to realize that, wait a second, he had God to bless him. And look at verse 13. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants. And the Philistine, what? Envied him. You are to be envied and not pitied. People ought to see you and say, my God. And that doesn't make any difference what that category is, but they should see you and want to know, what do you have? And that's why I said Christianity was never meant to be dictated. It was meant to be demonstrated. People should see it on your life that the God that you serve will take care of you in style. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So, as I looked at that, look at verse 16. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for you are much mightier than we are. See if they have that in the Living Bible translation, and just put it up there if you have that translation. I'm not sure whether you have it or not. Praise God. He said, finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else. He said, for you have become too powerful for us. How would you like your neighbors to circulate a petition and say, listen, you've got to move out of this neighborhood? Well, that's where you're going. So, when I look at this, I want to say that this is for all people. And what we have to do is we have to trust God when it comes to a blessing manifested in our lives. Now, let me show you where I'm going with this. Here is a man named Joseph. Now, Joseph's brothers envied him. Matter of fact, they wanted to kill him. And they sold him. And some traveling band of Ishmaelites bought him as a slave and took him on down to Egypt. Sold him again. Now understand what he had on his life. He had the blessing. Now this blessing is so powerful till it guarantees, Lord have mercy, a life of prosperity. And it also makes provision for generational prosperity. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14, would you look at that please? In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. Glory to God. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. He is not blessing you so that it just ends with your generation. Are y'all with me? Now you remember Jacob. Joseph. And you remember... You remember Job. I'll get it right in all them J's. You remember Job. And look what it says in Job. Now just flip to these scriptures very quickly. Or if you don't need to flip to them, just take my word for it. Praise God. Job chapter 1. And in Job chapter 1, he gave you a financial statement of Job. And look what he says here in verse 4. And the sons went, verse 3. And his substance was also 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, so now Job starts getting in trouble because he starts getting into unbelief. And he begins to start praying the same prayer over and over again for these kids, obviously. They were probably living in a way that wasn't pleasing unto God. But now the Bible says that I sought for a man among them who could make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I would not destroy it, but I didn't find any. That was in Ezekiel, I think, chapter 22 and verse 30. My point to you is that you can stand in the gap for kids who are not acting quite right. Say amen to that. And you can keep the hedge up around them. Now look what he said in verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for naught? Have not you made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So notice what that blessing did. That blessing covered Job. It covered his house. It covered his businesses. It covered all that he had. But what happened? Now here comes Satan, and Satan is now finding an opening to get into Job's life because the wall of the blessing had gone down. And so now Satan attacks him. He attacks his businesses. He attacks his family. He attacks his health. Everything. Now, as you look forward in this, here is Job now, and he's in kind of a bad situation. And look what it says here. He said in verse 21, and said, naked I came from out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this is a very interesting thing that Job said. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Now, the Bible talks about for us that we should understand that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if I look at that same 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I look at it, let's look at it in another translation. Let's look at it in the Living Translation. Let's just try that. And see what it says. If you have the Living Translation, would you please put it up there? Now, in the Living Translation, it gives you just a little bit more clarity of that verse. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Now, this is why the scripture is coming to you, because we all come in the kingdom with ungodly thought patterns. So the scripture is going to teach us what's right. Verse 17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So isn't it just like the enemy to try to deceive you or deceive me and make us think something that is not true, and really what is true make us somehow shun that and stay away from it. Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, if you look at the scriptures and look at the background, God didn't take it away. He's not giving to something to you to take it away. He's given something to you to increase you. So what had happened, Job, what he said was truly stated because the Holy Spirit inspired the writer to write it. But it was not a statement of truth because it didn't line up with the will and the plan of God for your life. Say amen to that. But he wanted you to see it so that you won't be a victim of the same thing. You see, the Bible says, submit yourself to God. This is found in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What is that saying? That's saying whatever you don't resist is allowed to remain. And the reason why is because you have the authority in the earth. God can't come down and do something on your behalf without you giving him authority to do it. Say amen to that. All right. So what happened? Job lost that. And look what it said next. Look at Job chapter 2, if you will, and verse 7. So when Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. Verse 9. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you do what? Curse God and die. Now, integrity is an interesting thing. This integrity gets you through the things that are you have come up against to get you to your portion. In other words, don't accept your condition for your portion. Because God has a portion for you. The condition for you is something usually, the condition that you have. Can I just talk here? Praise God. The condition that you have is something that usually the evil one has set up. That's your present condition. But that's not your portion. Your portion is found in Scripture. That we need to open this book and see what God really gave us. So notice Job had sores on his body from his crown or from the foot to the crown. Now, if I look at Job and look at Job chapter 33, I think it is. I'm going to look at that. Now, follow me now. I'm almost done, but just follow me. He says in 33 and verse 25, his flesh is fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Now, what is happening here? He is saying his flesh is fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. Coming over to Job now, chapter 42. This is the last chapter of Job. And look what he did. In Job 42, verse 10. And the Lord returned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave the Job how much? Twice as much as he had before. Verse 12. And so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep. This is a new financial statement. And 6,000 camels. Come on. And 1,000 yoke of oxen. And 1,000 she asses. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 15. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. My Lord, they were looking good. And verse 16. After this lived Job. How many years? 140 years. Saw his sons and his sons' sons and even 4 generations. And Job died being what? Old and full of years. Now I want you to see that. Because it no more mentions the boils and sores and pus that was all over his body. Why? Because his flesh was fresher than a child's. He had returned to the days of his youth. I'm only saying to you that you may get in trouble. Something may happen to a part of your body, but God has a supply. That supply is laid up for you in the invisible realm. And by faith, you can get that part replaced in this meeting. Doesn't make any difference what it is. I just want to show you this. This is happening with Job. All right, let me finish up here. So next. Next. Now, I'm running all this by you, but you got to meditate some of this yourself. All right. Next. I want to just say that now Joseph was raised up. I'm going to talk to some now. And he's raised up. Now, understand, he's working as a slave in the house of Potiphar. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 that because of the blessing on Joseph, Potiphar's house was blessed. Now notice also that God gave Joseph an ability that Joseph didn't have before to manage the ranches of Potiphar. Notice, now everything's growing to the point that Joseph, now Potiphar, is not even looking at what's under his hand. He's trusting Joseph with everything. Now, why does Joseph have to stay full of integrity? Because the blessing won't function with a person that lacks integrity. Say amen to this. Amen. I'm saying that integrity was a key for Job to get out of what he had. And it was a key for you to make it to the end of the assignment that God has for you, Lord Jesus. Last part. So now, here is Joseph. Mrs. Potiphar makes eyes at him. Joseph then turns her down. She keeps his coat. Tells a lie on him. Now they send Joseph to jail. But notice, he wasn't down there in jail talking about Miss Potiphar. You know that heifer got me down here and I'm trying to get so forth. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Because you can't do that. You got to pray for those who despitefully. See, here's the deal. Maintain integrity and they can't stop you. Just maintain, just do what's right. And the blessing knows what to do. It's going to take you to the top. Now watch this. Threw him in jail. What happened? He took over the jail. Am I right about it? Next thing you know, Pharaoh has a dream. Pharaoh calls him. He goes, tells Pharaoh what the dream is. Pharaoh hires him. So you the man. Put him second in charge. Now he's handling everything. Let me just say this. Joseph was a Jew. They didn't have no equal opportunity program back there. He was a Jew. But because of the blessing, he was going to become the head. No matter what culture he was in. Watch this. No matter what color you are. I'm dipping into something now. I told you I'm going to dip into this thing. I'm going to play with it before we get out of here. See, because what we say, that supervisor doesn't like me. He's prejudiced. So what? I'm not talking about people who don't have the blessing. I'm talking about people who do. If God can't promote you with that supervisor, he will remove him. Because there is no weapon. I better come over here. You see, we've tried to trust in a government that don't have no power. And it's corrupt anyway. And we tried to trust in that to try to do something. Folks, let me tell you, You've got a different government. You've got the government of the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, if you have a situation, you run to God. And as you go to God, God, that blessing will be released on your behalf and it will work things out. Now let me tell you, it'll look like you're in trouble right now, but hold on to the blessing. Because the more confidence you have in it, the more power is released on your behalf, and it'll turn your situation right on round for you to succeed. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I found that out, you can rest. Because nobody can stop BW. From the White House to the outhouse. Nobody. And nobody can stop you, because if God be for you. Come on, help me now. Come on, help me. No. This is the answer. See, you and I need to adopt the blessing. We need to embrace the blessing. Let me tell you, what God has for you is not only is He's going to make sure you get promoted, but if you keep hanging in there, you're going to own it. Boy, y'all got to see what I'm saying here. Look what he says. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Now on that Matthew, he talked about the blessing. He said, blessed are those that mourn, or blessed are those that so and so. Look at this one now. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Next verse, please. And then he says this, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Come on, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Watch what it says. For my name's sake, look what it says. Rejoice! See, you may as well rejoice, because they can't hold you. They can't stop you. But the enemy wants you to start talking about people, running them down, so forth and so on. Now, I know there's a justice system of God, and I'm coming out with that book next, Vengeance and Recompense. But I'm telling you now, there is a way that you release the blessing. And one of the ways you release it is when the devil thinks he got you down and gets you crying and belly aching and so forth. Fool him. Rejoice. And when you do, the blessing is released. And it's going to do the work for you. Last place. Sit down. Last place. First Kings chapter 17, please. Woo! This is your meeting right here. This is your meeting. This is the one God called you to. This is the one that's going to turn around situations in your life that you've been dealing with for years, but this is the one. Say, this is the one. Now, I don't care who you are or where you are. I'm telling you, God can take you from on welfare to faring well. God can take you. All right, look, last place. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 8. Just put it up on the screen very quickly, please. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 8. Here's what it says. And I want you to get this. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you and your storehouses and all that you set your hands to. That's enough. Let's go now to 1 Kings and look at 1 Kings and chapter 17, please. 1 Kings 17 and verse 2. Now, this is when God told the prophet to announce that the rain is going to stop. And there'll be no more rain until I say so. And so what happens here in verse 2? And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, glory to God, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself in the brook Cherith that is belonging to Jordan, before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Say command. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is beside Jordan. Check it out. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And notice what happened. Go down here by this river down here, and I got some birds that's going to feed you. Can I get an amen out of this crowd? Now, they're going to feed you twice a day. They're going to bring you some barbecue. Amen, amen. Some Texas barbecue, praise God. Well, I got that on my mind. Now, you put that in. That's a power suggestion, man. And look, they're going to bring you Big Mac and cheese in the evening, and some turkey bacon and some things. No, my point to you is, God can command blessings on you. He can command a bird to bring you provision. Is this exciting or is this exciting? Twice a day. Guaranteed, this was not some throwaway food. This was probably off the king's table. God gives you the biggest and the best. So what happened next? He did that. But give me the next verse, please. Because soon the brook dried up. And it came to pass while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Praise God. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, to God, arise now and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to take care of you. Well, I'm going to close out on that note, because what I want to let you know is God can command animals, can command people. Your problem is not money. Your problem is faith in God. That blessing that is on you guarantees you success. Now watch this. Living testimony. The lady said that her rent was due and they were going to put her out that next day if she didn't have $2,000. She said she reminded God of her covenant. And a knock came at the door. She said it was late, about 11:30, almost 12 o'clock at night. And a knock came at the door. She said, who is it? He said, it's your neighbor from upstairs. She said, she cracked the door. She said, yeah, what is it? He went in his vest pocket. He said, I have here an envelope with $2,000 in it. Tell your God to leave me alone. Come on, give God praise, because he's about to command the blessing on your life. If you're ready to receive it, shout about it. Get up and shout about it and receive it. Yeah. I came to you to announce debts are canceled. God said so. In Jesus' name.